I invite you to turn your Bibles this morning to Romans chapter 10, the book of Romans chapter 10. And the Bible, the scriptures that the Lord has given to us are is His living word. It's God's word from eternity into us. And the Lord says what He means and means what He says. Of course, there are many applications to the Word of God. And there is the design of God, the principle of God that is revealed as time goes on. You know, we talk about how the Lord, over the course of time from Adam unto today, and the course of time that the Bible was being given unto us, that the Lord is like peeling back the layers of an onion to reveal the core of His work and His purpose, and that's Christ Jesus and the salvation of the human race, the salvation of mankind. And as that's being peeled back and we're given more and given more in the Scriptures, we understand more the working of the Lord, the intent of the Lord, the accomplishment of the intent and the hints. And it all comes down. It's all culminated in Christ Jesus. Here in Romans chapter 10, by some a misused chapter, the book of Romans is sometimes maligned because of its misuse, and we don't need to steer away from it because the Lord's given us the book of Romans, and it's a wonderful book. We just don't need to take the Word of God and misuse it in any way. And in this chapter, we have an outline for us about the workings on our side about how salvation is, how it comes, how sinners receive it, and how it comes about, okay? And we don't offer a process or a number of steps. The gospel comes, the Word of God comes to sinners to repent and believe the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus came and became a man, fulfilled His gospel, His death, burial, and resurrection for the sake of the salvation of sinners. That's what He came to do, and that's what all men are commanded to believe and to receive. And so in this chapter 10, the apostle lays that out about workings in our hearts and our minds and what people deal with. Some take this and use it as an incantation to salvation. It's not. It's not an incantation to salvation. We can't get people to go over and drape them over a barrel to repeat some words and have accomplished salvation. The Spirit of God is the one that saves. It is God that saves, Jesus that saves and convicts. And if you're here and you're not saved, we pray that you would hear Him. Believe Him, receive Him in what He has plainly said, and what the Word of God is given unto us for, is given unto you for, to hear. And so a beginning of a conclusion in this chapter, we see in verse number 17 of Romans chapter 10. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And that's just the facts, okay? On this side of this mortal realm, that's the way that it is. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing what? Hearing the Word of God, okay? It starts off with print on the paper. It goes to the hearing of the ear, and we trust by the miracle of God is heard by the heart. And when we say the heart and we point to our chest, we're not talking about the blood pumping muscle. We're talking about you, your soul, your intellect, your being that God has made you and that you receive that. You hear that. It's not just intellectual, but the intellect is involved. It is spiritual, which is the Lord's working in business. And it's all wrapped up in there together. It is you, the person, hearing and believing and trusting what God has said and what God has promised. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the end of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation will I anger you. In conclusion of this chapter, he's taking some things that he's dealt with previously in the book, and he's kind of bringing them together here. The subject is about how the Lord dealt with the Jews, and when they took the law and the ceremony of all that, they missed what it was all pointing to and pointing to Christ. And so, and he's talking about the, I think he's talking about the cunning and the wisdom of the Lord and how he has worked. Did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Esaias is very bold. He's very bold when he says, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel, he saith, in this comparison between the Jews and the Gentiles and this how the things that were given unto Abraham and delivered unto Abraham, the calling of Abraham and ultimately the forming of the Lord's nation, that in all that and the doing of all that, the word of God that came out of that and those prophets and such, that the work of God ultimately was to bring salvation to all the world, okay? Even the Gentiles, the non-Jews. But to Israel, he comes back. He saith, all day long I've stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. And that's the phrase that we want to consider this morning, is this phrase, the stretched forth hands of God. The stretched forth hands of the Lord, okay? And so he wraps that up, indicating it back to Israel. But think about that. And you know, this, I pray this is, I can convey this, and the Lord will bless that this would be a blessing to you as it is to me. The stretched forth hands of the Lord. You know, the Lord's in pleading in that. And we know the Lord doesn't try to do anything, but he meets us in how he's made us. And he's in pleading mankind. That's that stretched forth hands. You know, we'll do that with one another when we're trying to convince one another of a thing. It's a body language that we do, stretched forth hands, or the stretched forth hand for help. Somebody's having a struggle. They're having a problem. They're off balance, or they're down in a pit, and we stretch forth the hand. That's what the Lord stretched forth hands. That's what I want us to have in our mind's eye this morning. The stretched forth hands of the Lord. You know, the Lord's hands were stretched forth through Adam. You remember how it was, and here in recent times, the last few years, this has come up a lot. We've done different themes regarding the creation, and then the uniqueness of mankind in that. And so we've touched upon it much in Genesis chapter 1, verse 25. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing, everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. And I trust you know enough about your Bible to know what the Lord is speaking about there regarding dominion. So God created, it says in verse 27, man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them, and God blessed them. And he says in verse number 29, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. The Lord's stretching out his hands. He the stretched forth hands. If God hadn't have done what he did right there, you and I wouldn't be here today. If the Lord hadn't stretched out his hands in that way, there would be no help or no salvation. Now, this is on the other side of sin. But had the Lord not, he made us in his image. He didn't do that with the beasts of the field and the cattle and the creeping things, but he did that with us. He saw it all when he had created it all, and he said it was very good. And you know what? After sin, or at this time of sin, when sin came into the world, came amongst mankind, rather, in Genesis chapter 3, we see through Adam the stretched forth hands of the Lord in verse number 8 of Genesis 3. And they, Adam and his wife, heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And this is after sin. And Adam hid them and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where are you?" That's the stretched forth hands of the Lord. They had sinned against God. God knows it. And yet he came down there seemingly like he had before. Where are you? You know, that's a question each one of us need to ask ourselves today. Where are you? That's what God asks. Where are you today? His stretched out hands. If the Lord hadn't come down in the garden and did what he did that day, you and I would have no help or hope. But he did. Praise be to his name. What a savior. You know, we come on through time, and it says in Genesis chapter 6, verse number 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart, man's heart, was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. God grieved in his heart. And that, you know what that means? God was grieved in his heart. That's what it means. He's grieved over this abundance and this overwhelming amount of sin and iniquity. And the Lord said, "I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." But Noah found grace, favor. Noah found a gift in the eyes of the Lord. His stretched out hands. He goes on, it tells us, the scripture tells us in Genesis chapter 6, verse number 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. It means he was mature. He understood. He heard God. He believed God. He followed after the way of the Lord. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way, God's way, upon the earth. And God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch." You think, did Noah have the capacity to be able to do anything when this judgment was meted forth, when this judgment was declared that would be meted forth by the Lord? You think Noah had the ability to go ahead and get himself prepped and prepared to be able to withstand that? No. You know, but the Lord stretched out his hands. He told him what to do. He gave him a wonderful design for the ark, and he made a provision. And listen to me. If the Lord had not done that in that day, you and I wouldn't even be here. You know, that's the blessing about this is that the connection to us that these different instances that I'm going to bring to our attention this morning, that the Lord brings to our attention, has to us. If it had not been for the stretched out hands of the Lord, we would not even be here today. We would not have a way that we could be rescued. You know, at Babel, it was the same. In Genesis 11, verses 1 through 9, we'll read verse number 9. You know about Babel, right? The people gathered together. They're going to build a tower to heaven. Could they accomplish it? No, but it's the rebellion and the disobedience against God. There's no way. There's no way mankind could have built a tower to reach into the third heaven. It could not be done. We know that about space and how that would be impossible. But the thing was, is the heart and the rebellion of the people in that day, all being of the same language. The Lord said nothing would be impossible unto them. But I'm going to go down there. I'm going to confound the language. It says in verse 9 of Genesis chapter 11. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of the earth. Even in that is the stretched out hand of the Lord. He cared enough to do what was necessary to preserve mankind for the time that man needed to be preserved. We are, because of sin and our depravity, just self-destructive. His stretched out hands unto us. You know, it was so through Abram, right? When the Lord called him. Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. There's that blessing that the Lord promised Abraham personally. And thou shalt be a blessing. Now it's going to go beyond this man, Abram. And I will bless them that bless thee. Oh, may we always bless. May we always bless that of Abraham. And curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. The promise that we're told, the promises, the two immutable, unchangeable promises that were made unto Abraham by God are detailed or shown to us and reemphasized there in the book of Hebrews, that in blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And they couldn't be changed if God promised them. And you know what? That very thing is connected to me and you today. If it wasn't for the Lord stretching out his hands, you and I would have no help or no way for forgiveness of sins. No way for us to have everlasting life. And who knows if we'd even be here. The Jews have been a blessing to every nation that has existed from that day. No telling how we would be affected in civilization or technologically, if it wasn't for this blessing upon this man in that day. The Lord stretched out hands. It was so with Isaac too in Genesis chapter 26. He tells him in verse number 4, I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give unto thy seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Aren't you glad that Abraham did? I am. I'm glad he did. He believed the Lord. And you know, the stretched out hands of the Lord unto Isaac too. And it was so through Jacob, wasn't it? Jacob being the way he was and that. But you know, the Lord is able to transcend all of our sin and all of our iniquity and our wicked way. In Genesis chapter 28, verses 13 through 15. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father. This is the ladder that Jacob saw and the angels descending and ascending on it. And the God of Isaac, the land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, to the north, and the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Again, through Jacob. If the Lord hadn't done that with Jacob, again, we would be in the same place today. No means of salvation. No hope. We are as Gentiles, as the non-Jews, the scriptures describe us as being without a place, without a country, alienated from God. And had the Lord not done that in that day with Brother Jacob, we had no telling where we would be. But the Lord stretched out his hands. He said unto him in chapter 32, and he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince thou hast had power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask my after my name? And he blessed him there, the outstretched hands of the Lord. He tells him the same thing in Genesis chapter 35. And God appeared unto Jacob again in verse 9, when he came out of Paddan Aram and blessed him. And God said unto him, thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob. Israel shall be thy name. Wrapped up in that is this package, this work that God's going to do that is just going to be amazing. It's always been wrapped up in his promises and what his engaging of these that he's been so good to and blessed so. And they've trusted him. They believed him. Jacob's name being changed to Israel is connected right here to you and me today. No more Jacob. From now on, I'm calling you Israel. And he called his name Israel. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply, a nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. And we know the king that has come from his loins. Amen. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Isn't that something, how it's just being more and more revealed on all of this, the outstretched hands of our Lord unto them and unto us. The land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, I will give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land. You know, through Brother Joseph, it was the same. If the Lord had not did what he did with Joseph in Egypt, what would we have today in regards to the soul? If Jacob's what? How was that? 66 souls that are with him over there in Canaan, and Joseph and his wife and two sons, 70 souls total. If they'd have been wiped out, what would we have today? What would we have today that would be eternal and everlasting? But you know what? Joseph declared it in Genesis 50:20 after his father died and his brothers were afraid. He said, but as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. The outstretched hands of the Lord through Brother Joseph. It's connected to you and me here today. You know what? Through the birth of the Lord's nation, the Lord's hands are outstretched. You know, consider this. He's dealt with men so far, but it's time in this promise that he's given unto Jacob, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and particularly to Jacob, because he is the one from whom this nation will be born, his 12 sons. Brother Moses declares it in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 20. But the Lord hath taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto him a people of inheritance, as ye are this day. Exodus 12:41. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. A miraculous thing. A miraculous thing. One nation sacrificed and destroyed for the sake of the birthing of the Lord's nation of Israel. And they were in bondage. They made them serve with rigor, right? There was no escape. But the Lord brought them out. The Lord essentially, he said unto them, if you will, he said, come on, let's go. Sent his man Moses and took them out of there. Pharaoh says, they're not going anywhere. And the Lord says, oh, yes, they are. And 10 plagues later, Pharaoh is saying, get out of here. The outstretched hands of the Lord. In Joshua chapter 4, verses 5 through 7, we've touched on this recently. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up, every man of you, a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. What's the significance of that? The day they entered into the land of Canaan on the west side of the Jordan, the Lord brought it to pass. His outstretched hands, promises he made unto them, he fulfilled. He gave them a land that flowed with milk and honey, and he went before them to drive out their enemies. Didn't matter how tall they were, how big they were, how strong they were. And if the Lord hadn't have done that, where would you and I be today eternally? You know, through Mount Sinai, the Lord has his hand stretched forth. In Exodus chapter 24, verse number 12, listen, and the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me and to the mount, and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone and a law and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. The beginning of the importance of what God says to be written down officially from God. Stretched out hands. Is the Lord doing that just so he can have a great work upon earth to be proud of? He's doing that for what? So the turtles can know the way of the Lord? So the lions can know the way of the Lord? So that you and I can know the way of the Lord? Stretched out hands. Starting there at Sinai, the beginning of the Word. And we know Brother Moses wrote the first five books of the Old Testament. And that was ordained by God. And all the prophets and such, it began there. The beginning of the Word of God being written down. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know, it was so that the hands of the Lord were stretched out unto us through Brother David. Where Brother David testifies in Psalm 110, verse number 1, the Lord said unto my Lord, Jehovah said unto my Lord Christ, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. And the Lord's enemies are our enemies from the standpoint of him desiring to save and to rescue and deliver his children, to save sinners. And the defeat of his enemies is the defeat of our enemies and our rescue. We're studying about the minor prophets, and we're down to those three sons and a grandson of Josiah. And that one grandson is very significant regarding the lineage of Christ Jesus. It looks like it's just going to all be cut off. But not with the Lord. Not with the Lord. His hands stretched out. You know, I think indeed the Lord has an interest here, don't you? Doesn't he have an interest? He sure does. He has an interest in mankind. He has an interest in sinners. He has an interest in his people. And his hands are stretched out. And all these things. And if they had not taken place, where would you and I be today? This telling, this hinting, this telling about one that would come, the Lord of David, our Lord. You know, it is so, the Lord's hands, as we've already mentioned, beginning there in Sinai and the writings of Brother Moses, his hands are outstretched unto us through his prophets by the Bible. Brother Peter declares in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 21, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables like the Greeks and the Romans, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory. When there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." When he was baptized and on the Mount of Transfiguration, where the Lord, where the Father added to that, there on the Mount of Transfiguration, "Hear ye him." You know, the Lord doesn't have to scream it. The Lord doesn't have to threaten with it to mean it. But he's declared it. "Hear ye him." Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And God says, "Hear ye him." Hear what Christ has to say. It goes on to say there, "And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount," that Mount of Transfiguration. He says, "We all have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed." This word of prophecy, this word from God by the Spirit of God through God's men, you do well if you'll heed it. You know what that means? To hear it, to take it in and chew on it and understand it, and to get a hold of it and believe it and apply it to living life. Your eternal soul, you do well. Because if you don't, you will not have the blessing of God upon you. None of us will. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. That's the way the word of God is, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Do you believe it for yourself? And you receive it, because you're the sinner that needs saving. He's the Savior that can save you. And he's the one that said, "Come follow me. Come follow me," with his outstretched hands. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture, whether it be the brethren in the Old Testament, or Brother Peter, is I think it's implied and it's here implicit, whether it's me or the apostles, or the other two brethren, the two outliers, which are made the word of God by the Lord, Luke and Mark, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. It means what God says and what God says alone. For the prophecy came not in old time, the word of God came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. He did it that way then. Peter's saying he's doing it that way now, and you do well that you take heed. And in the word of God, what's it tell us? He tells us the truth. He warns us. And he tells us the good news. And he tells us the promises. His hands are outstretched unto us through his word and through the prophets, through his prophets and the Bible. And indeed, we know that it's all culminated. His hands are outstretched unto us through Christ Jesus. In Romans chapter 15, verse number 12, in the same book from which we started, he says, "And again Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles." Wonderful. Wonderful. Yes, even not just to his nation, but even to those outside of his nation. In him shall the Gentiles trust. This is taken from Isaiah chapter 11. And verse number 10, I'll read verses 1 through 10 are all there together, but we'll just read verse number 10 in Isaiah 11. "In that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people." Is he your ensign? He's my Savior. He stretched out his hands to me, and he has delivered me. "This ensign of the people, to it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious." And indeed it is glorious. What a wonderful, wonderful thing to be saved from your sins, to have a confidence and sure knowledge in Christ Jesus that my eternity is secure. I've been rescued. You've been rescued if you're here and saved by the promise and blessing of the Lord. In Isaiah 49, verse number 6, and he said, it is a light thing that shall thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. The Father speaks, I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation to the end of the earth. The outstretched hands of the Lord. So we come back to our text in Romans chapter 10. And indeed, I pray that the Lord helps us to see that this thing that he mentions regarding Israel is a principle and a concept that is so for that which is not Israel too, not just the Jews. The context here is he's speaking about the Jews, but this is a principle of the Lord, his outstretched hands. Why will you die? Why will you corrupt yourself with sin and the old man way? Why will you go away from me in the way that I've blessed you with and told you about and given to you that you didn't know anything about? Why, for you that are here and not saved, why would you go anywhere or receive anything but my Son and my deliverance through him? The outstretched hands of the Lord. In Romans 10, we see here his doing so to Israel, these outstretched hands that are mentioned here in verse 21, was the beginning of him doing so to all people. You know, while the Lord was dealing with families, Adam, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, while he's dealing with families, you know, it's all, there was a witness that those brethren had, and there were Gentiles, no doubt, that were in their households that were saved. I believe that. I don't know if it's so or not, but I believe that their testimony was there, but the testimony and witness was constrained. But by virtue of the Lord establishing his nation, that's the beginning of this stretched out hands into the world. If Israel had not been so, then where would we be today? But the Lord brought all these things. What benefit has the Jew? Much in every way. To them were given the oracles of God. See, and the oracles of God went to them, and the Word of God comes to us too. So we read here, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words into the ends of the world. You know what this reference is? This reference is out of Psalm 19, verses 1 through 6, that's speaking about the circuits of the bodies in heaven. That was a testimony unto the Gentiles and to all men, is that God is a creator and that he is there and that someone has made this and there is a power above mankind. But you know what the apostle does? He takes that principle of that and he says, he brings it down here and he says the testimony of the Word of God is that minister and that witness. The testimony of the Word of God within Israel is a witness unto the non-Jewish world. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth and their words into the end of the world. And in Deuteronomy 4, verses 5 through 8, behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, Moses speaking, that ye should do so in the land whither you go to possess. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so near to them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? The celestial bodies have been a testimony to mankind of God's existence from the beginning. But the word of God coming to the nation and that witness of God Almighty having to do with mankind and the truth about man and his need, again, culminating in Christ, has been the outstretched hands of the Lord unto all, not just the Jews, but unto all. Verse 19 of Romans 10. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation will I anger you. He's again borrowing from Deuteronomy 32:21. They have moved me to jealousy, the Lord said, with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities. I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. And you know who that is? That's you and me. That's you and me. The outstretched hands of the Lord. We don't even belong, but he's made us to where we can and do belong. Verse 20. But Isaiah is very bold. Isaiah is very bold, saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. You know who that is? That's us. That's the non-Jew. The brother Paul is borrowing from Isaiah 65:1. I am sought of them that asked not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me, behold me. That's what the Lord's declaring. Behold, look at me, look at me. Unto a nation that was not called by my name. We've dealt with it here recently in Romans chapter 9, verses 25 and 26. As he saith also in Hosea. Remember that? I will call them my people which were not my people. He's talking about the Jews and Hosea. And her beloved which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. That was found in Hosea chapter 2, verse number 23 and thereabouts, where the Lord says, I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. I will say unto them which were not my people, thou art my people, and they shall say, thou art my God. And Hosea was talking about the Jews. But here where Brother Paul takes it and brings it up here into this chapter in Romans chapter 9, he says, talking about us, the non-Jews, because we were not a people. We didn't belong. We are a foolish nation, but the Lord has stretched out his hands unto us and brought salvation unto us, and he's using us on his nation indeed, and he will bring her back, and what a glorious thing that will be indeed. And then we come to our focus verse in verse 21. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying. What that word gainsaying is talking about doubt, dispute, refusal, talking back, contradiction, denying, and speaking against. All day long I've stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Well, we know that he has spoken that about Israel, and that's the context here in this chapter. But now, having come on down the line 1,900 years since the Word of God was complete, indeed, we can say that about us too, huh? Gentiles, the outstretched hands of the Lord unto the non-Jew, okay? The Word of God made plain, salvation alone through the Lord Jesus Christ. And what is it that men women, boys, and girls naturally do. They doubt it. They refute it. They gainsay against it. But you know what it is? It is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile, the outstretched hands of the Lord. Will you not receive him today if you're here and you're not saved? Will we who are saved, will we not consider the greatness of the outstretched hands of the Lord? All these things he's brought to pass to bring us to where we are today as his children. Had he chose not to, and we know the Lord can't fail, but if I would say that, if he failed to accomplish any of these things, not by ability, but he just was tired of dealing with us, you and I would have no help or hope today. But his hands, all day long, are outstretched unto us. See, the Lord's outstretched hands of the Lord to all the world. We see it in these passages, don't we? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Are they not outstretched? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In the last day, the great day of the feast, it says in John chapter 7, verse 37, Jesus stood and cried, saying, I've always wondered, I've kind of marveled at this passage. It's there in this feast time, and he stands up in the midst of it, wherever he's at. And he said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. If that's not outstretched hands, I don't know what is. And then lastly, in John chapter 1, familiar passage, verse number 12. But as many as received him, John declares, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The outstretched hands of our Lord.